Well, hello and welcome to Timmy G's Tyre Power Time Machine. Yeah, I've got a sponsor. How good's that? Bill Beauty and my very special guest, six-time premiership player, 251 games for the Magpies, 247 goals, the mercurial, the legendary, the ghost, Rowan Smith. Hello, Rowan. How are you today?
Hello.
No touching.
Yeah,
do that. Beautiful. But what a pleasure it is to have you on the time machine.
It's great to be here on Tim's tool time.
Not quite.
I must be the tool.
Yeah.
But fantastic to be here, and hopefully you look after me a bit.
Familiar surroundings, mate, this locker room we spent many a time in together.
Yeah, it's good to be in here, actually. It's, you jump out the bath and come in here, and a lot of banter that went on in here. Obviously, it was two separate rooms, one for the league squad.
Yeah.
And the other for reserve squad. So you weren't allowed to come in here in the league side if you're in the reserve squad. So it drove everyone to want to be in this side of the room.
Well, that's true. Did you experience both rooms?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially Sunday mornings. I was always in the reserve side because the league one was locked at 9 o'clock. And if you come in here at 5 past, you get dragged in there. So, yeah, got caught up a couple of times in there.
Jack was a bit hostile on time, wasn't he?
He was a bit like that, but understandable. I mean, things you got to do back then and, with a bit of a hangover, time just goes by you and a couple of times you're just late.
Well, I am going to go back to find out where, your humble beginnings came from, but if we are talking Sunday mornings, truth or myth, did you sort of indicate to people like my good self that just check the car park before you go in to Sunday morning training and just see if I'm in my car, and if I am, could you wake me up? Is that true?
I was probably very responsible back then in the way that I never used to drive my car.
Well, that's a good point. I'll give you that.
After a few sherbets at the club. So my car used to stay in the car park and yeah, that would have been correct. That I would have asked a few guys to come past. And
so I like the way you just twisted that to actually be a responsible person.
Correct.
And so you don't drink drive, but you still have a crack at night and wind it up in the back seat of your car.
Yes, that's right. And that's, those days were great fun like that. And we used to be able to get away with a good night or two. So
that's true. Yes,
Sundays were just part of it.
All right, we're going to go back to your humble beginnings here. Where did you grow up? Tell the audience where you grew up, your family life. Of course, Ken and Faye, your parents. Give us a bit of a background.
Yep. So,
Wandana Terrace?
No, that was Wayne.
That was Wayne.
Yeah, we were Marmora Terrace at Osborne.
Ah.
Down near the water tower on Military Road there. So grew up my whole childhood there, born until I was 22 or something when I moved out. So good upbringing.
Did you move out or, were you encouraged?
No, I moved. I think football made me move actually in the end.
Okay.
I went to Melbourne, but that's another story, I suppose.
We'll get to that planned too.
So, lived down there. And Mum and Dad both worked down there on the peninsula as well. So it was pretty much home. And I was listening to Tim's Tyre Power with Mark Tyler, and he was a neighbour across the train line, so there was a few of us that lived down that way.
Yeah, tell us about those days, because you went to Taparoo High as well of advanced education. That school produced a lot of good footballers for Port Adelaide.
It did, and I remember one day, I reckon we had a league game here at Alberton, and there was six players in the league side that went to Taparoo High, so we thought that was a...
That's an achievement.
Don't try and make me name them, but... Yeah, we counted them up at Colin Bald, Michael O'Brien, Martin Leslie, Tiles, me, Roger Delaney. So that's six, I think. So, yeah, that was an effort.
Well, I suppose you could be here because you weren't in class.
No, that's right. I don't think any of them guys
good
would
finger.
Have... None of those guys would have made it to Year 12, I wouldn't have thought.
Oh, God. But it did produce a lot of good footballers. And your local club now, Port Districts, legendary. You're a bit of a large legend, as they call them down there. Were you, when you were young enough, were you a semi-central guy or an Exeter? Which side did you go on?
Dad was always semi-central, so, they were the black and white part of the two clubs. Exeter were the Glenelg colours.
Yeah.
So a lot of great rivalries back then. I remember days where, you know, there'd be 3,000 people watching the local derby, and they were huge days, and usually ended up with a few fisticuffs, which was good, and they hated each other like a showdown here now, even more so.
And then shared the same club afterwards.
Yeah, but that only happened when they played each other, when every other week the away side would go to a pub on the way home as such. So good fun. And, so I played all my juniors from probably 7 or 8 up to 14, I think, with semi-centrals, and then they merged, so become Port District.
Yeah. Which has been great for the club ever since. When did you get to Alvin? What year?
So under 16s, we were playing SAFA and Port District, and we had a first year of under 16s, and we actually got to the grand final, and we had a draw. And back then you had a replay, so the week after replay at Thurby Oval, and we lost by a point. So very disappointed. So I decided, got a letter to come out here in under 17s a year after, and I thought, nah, I'm going to stay at districts and try and get that flag back in under 16s, my final year in under 16s, and we won the grand final, so I was happy to move on after that.
Okay, so let's go back a couple of years. In 1980, you play for Port Districts in a grand final out here.
Yes.
Against Semaphore Park. And you were given a role that day.
I was. The silly coach, Sluggo at the time, he was heading towards an undefeated season. There was a player for Semi Park. It was yourself. Did you win the medal that year?
Of course
you did. Yeah. So I was given the task of our best player. I was given the task of mining Semi Park's best player, and we won the game pretty easy, but...
I thought you did well. You kept me down to 40. Oh, yeah. That was great. Yeah, you did a terrific job.
But I kicked 5, so so there wouldn't have been much tagging back then. We wouldn't have known what it was, so we would have played very wide.
Well, you didn't know what it was. I know that. I didn't know you were there. That was a waste of time, quite frankly.
We had the last laugh. Undefeated premiers.
Which congratulations to you. When you get here, you start going through the ground. Did you ever think, I'm going to play league footy for Port?
Probably not. Come out here, you play under 17s, you know all the lads from the local area. Just come out and have a bit of fun. But I did for a few years come here with my mates and every Albert and home game and watch out on the hill and catch a train here and home. And
who were your early heroes?
Russell Ebert would have been, and Kimmy Kinnear, Brucey Light, all them guys. Probably Rebel. He kicked all the goals. So them sort of guys. Yeah.
And related to them, of course. You get through a few reserves games. You're playing some good footy. You get to make your debut.
Yeah.
Do you want to walk through the debut, or do you want me to give you your stats for the day?
No, you can do it, but it was a pretty flawless day. you don't have many of them. But everything went right,
It was amazing. And I've seen some debuts and, nervous guys and all the rest of it. You and your character, because you were a guy like when we were in this room here, I'm here 2 hours early, I'm fully dressed, ready to go, strapped, you name it, you'll rock in. You might get in your gear 2 minutes before we warm up. You might.
Yeah.
And that's only because the team manager's screaming at you. You were very relaxed in your build-up. Compared to me, anyway, I know that. Did you feel that way? Is that your nature?
I think I just meant to do it that way. Like even the warm-ups, I probably didn't stretch at all. Really, it's just
you weren't interested. Were you?
Weren't interested in warm-ups and getting revved up. Really, I just done it my own way, and everyone does it their own way. So,
but that day, you debuted Woodville Oval.
Yep.
Against Woodville, you played half forward.
Yep.
You've had 20 kicks, 10 ambles. He's kicked 5 goals on debut.
Yeah.
It was a big night back here for you.
It took me a couple of days to get over it because, as you know, donations that used to happen at the club, and I wouldn't have made that sort of money for the whole year. So to get, $500 or $600, I think it was that night, it was party time after that.
Oh, it was amazing. Now, this is how good your debut was, because after the game, the great Greg Anderson comes up to me and he goes, Timmy, What a debut. That was amazing. And I know where Ando was edging here. He's going, God, he said, that was incredible. And I'm going, yeah. I said, Greg, it was an amazing debut. I mean, 20 and 10, five goals. He goes, yeah, yeah. Geez, it was like, it was nearly as good as my debut, I reckon. And he was Deacup too, because he had a massive debut in 83 as a 17-year-old on the wing. Yeah. Incredible. I think he might add 26. But he only kicked the one run. He didn't kick five.
No, but I still rate that as my favourite game. You can go through grand finals and all that as well, but individually I think it was just, you know, and to be your first was just ridiculous, really. And
I've got one for you that you played a bit later on, actually. Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people said that, that you were selfish, not giving off at all or helping to give off. But there was a game in 89 where the Stateside played Victoria on the MCG.
Yeah.
And they got slaughtered. And we had to wait for that game to finish. And we played a night game against North Adelaide. And they were undefeated, I think, 11 in a row or something. And we'd had a really good run of wins in a row. We came together that night.
Yeah.
I reckon you had a
fairy coached us.
Yep. Yeah. Right, fair club coached. Yeah. You kicked seven that night.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
And I reckon that's got to be one of your most flawless games, I'll say.
Yeah, I don't really rate that. Well, I don't remember it as well as my first game. So, yeah. Obviously, pulling on the Guernsey for the first time was massive.
Yeah.
And it was a Saturday night, I think, too, so I was probably more worried about what I was doing after the game. And, so I don't rate that one quite as high, but, yeah, it was obviously a good result.
We've got to talk about your, what would you say, your desire to enjoy your wins, perhaps. And the great story of 1988 Grand Final, where Wayne Marnie catches you coming into the rooms pre-game and you basically got your suitcase packed going where, we don't know. And we said, what are you doing? And you said, well, I spoke to Mum, I'm not going home for a fortnight.
Mm.
We said, we haven't won yet. And you said, I don't care, I'm not going home for a fortnight. Yeah. And then it was pointed out to you that in a fortnight we've actually booked a trip to America for a footy trip. And you said, oh, I've made a mistake. I'm not going home for a month then.
Yeah, I did pack some clothes for the week after the grand final, but it was only really so I didn't wake Mum and Dad up when I got home every night. I prefer to just sleep in the car here. And I didn't want to miss nothing the next morning. There was things going on every day, so I didn't want to miss anything. So, yeah, I did have some the bag was packed in the boot, yeah.
Oh, I love
only
that.
Only done it once, so.
Preparation, though. That's the thing about you. You're thinking ahead. You're incredible. What a guy. What a guy. Let's talk about 88 because it nearly didn't happen. And you know the moment I'm talking about. In that bath, you just go through that door, the sacred truth bath, as we called it.
Yeah.
We're sitting in there. You have not been in the league side for a few weeks. The last minor round game is played. I think because it was a double header, you had to play reserves.
At Norwood Oval. Yeah.
How did you go that day?
About as well as I'd played Norwood every other year. Didn't do much at all. Probably thought I'd done my dash, to tell you the truth.
I know.
Yeah, I probably had five or six touches, so I thought
we were sitting in that bar.
Yeah.
And you went below that water and you said to me, I'm at my lowest ebb.
At my lowest ebb, yeah.
And I said, no, you'll be right, mate. Don't worry, you know, all right. I thought you were at your lowest ebb. Don't worry. Yeah. I didn't think you were getting in.
And then Bluey rode past on his bike, so that made me feel a bit better and started perking up from there. So.
But Jack picked you. Jack picked you because we had finished top. We had a week off.
Yeah.
Jack picked you and put you in that second semi-side. Were you surprised yourself?
Yeah, I was. I think I only got dropped for one game, actually. It wasn't a few. It was just for the one. And looking back afterwards, it was probably just give me a wake-up call, obviously. And, so I think I come straight back in after a shocking game in the twos and straight in the second semi, wasn't it?
Straight in the second semi, yeah.
It wasn't a final before that.
No, we went straight in. Yeah. And we absolutely massacred Nord in a really windy, horrible day, but you kicked some amazing goals in difficult conditions.
Yeah.
And you knew you were playing in the grand final.
I think after that I probably knew, yeah. So, it was just a trust thing from Jack, and as I said, he probably just, you know, gave me the kick up the backside that was needed at the time. So,
how would you describe your relationship with Jack?
Good, yeah. No, he was good right the way through. Yeah, very relaxed at most times. He could go off every now and again, but yeah, we had a good relationship. Didn't really talk a hell of a lot. Had a muck around, had a training every now and again, but yeah, we knew each other pretty well at the end that we didn't need to talk about much, really.
What about the famous story where we're going well, you know, we're winning a lot of games, we're out there on the track on a Tuesday night, and Jack was big for keeping everybody's attention, and if he saw somebody talking to the back, he'd go like that. What did I just say? And he caught you one night, and you repeated him unbelievably word for word. You said, Jack, we're going back out, we're going to do circle work this way, then we're going to go for another 5 minutes the other way, then we're going to go down into one ball, straight up and down the middle.
Bit of a handball game.
Yeah. We're going to go quick hands over the side, and then bang, in off the track.
Yeah.
And Jack was
stunned.
End up
with a smother, maybe.
And maybe a smother to finish. And Jack said, geez, how'd you know that? And what'd you say?
Well, you say the same thing every trainer, basically. So.
You got him down like that, and everybody burst out laughing, and Jack just looks at me and says, you got to have characters like that. He loved you.
He tells that story a bit at Sportsman's
Night.
He does.
But it was a great moment. It actually happened. I mean, not making it up.
Well, training was pretty much the same, wasn't it, every week? Apart when we lost, it might have got a bit more physical.
Yeah, but, I didn't like it when we lose.
No.
No doubt about that. 1990. We've had a very tumultuous year. We're playing okay. We fire up once the AFL announcement came along. And how did you feel at that moment? Did you think, wow, we could be going in the AFL and I might be a part of it? Or was it just a bit overwhelming or something?
I probably thought, that a lot of us would be involved in the AFL sort of thing. So I'd had contact with...
Because you were already drafted.
Yeah, I got drafted to the Swans the year before, I think.
Yes.
And it was the year before where I was working with Darren Smith at Regency Park and he had quite a few clubs come in to see him at work I'd just be hanging around the front. All those coaches and got dragged into a couple of them after a while. And the same thing happened with Hinesy. Hinesy got invited to meet Malthouse from the West Coast and up in town one night, and I got dragged into that as well. And they had a chat to both of us, and Mick Moylan was their recruiting man.
Yeah, yeah.
Malthouse went off to bed after the restaurant, and me and Hinesy and Moylan went across to the casino till 3 a.m. So I probably gathered I wasn't going to get drafted by them. Hinesy did, of course. But,
yeah. What about your Sydney experience? Because they took you to Sydney, didn't they?
Yeah, that was... I was going on a boat with some mates. Got drafted by them in 89. Thought I'd go and say hello to them when I was over there for an hour. And they come and picked us up. I said, all right, if my three mates come with me to go back to the SCG. They gave us a tour. Of course, all they wanted was the red and white shorts and tank tops and all, so they asked for them. And it was after we had a lunch too, so we'd had a few beers and that probably didn't help things either. So,
yeah.
Funny enough, the next year they traded me to St Kilda. So.
Which you end up at St Kilda. So tell us about your experience that year in 91. Because we kept in touch during that year, but what was the experience like? Kenny Sheldon's coach, Tony Lockett's he's kicking a million goals up front.
Yep, so really, really good fun. St Kilda were very similar to Port Adelaide. The supporters are, working class. The only difference is they hadn't had the success that we had. But
that's a big difference.
Yeah. They're a bit of a party, known as the party club, so they were trying to change that culture.
And they recruited you?
Yeah.
As director?
But they had some great players, and it was, Winmar, Lockett, Lowe, Burke, Harvey, McAdam, you could go on and on. They're a good side. I really enjoyed the Melbourne lifestyle and the footy that come with it, even though I only played the three games. Drink cards at the nightclubs and stuff like that was all part of it. So.
What about you've rung me and we've started chatting and I said, you said to me, how'd you go? And it was 91 and I said, we had a bad year. I said, you know, we finished fifth, not good enough. I said, but got a couple of kids coming through, not look too bad, you know. Brett Chalmers and a bloke called Nathan Buckley. So, yeah, it looks all right. And you said, yeah, yeah, what else? I said, well, we had a really good year at fundraising and we're probably going to go on a trip to Bali. And you said, you've just about won me. I think I'm coming back. Now, tell me about the process that you were going through at the time at St Kilda.
Yeah, so the season had finished and I got dragged into the office with Ken Sheldon was coach and Peter Hudson was footy manager. And they dragged me in and basically the meeting went, we're going to drop your base rate down and we want you to give up drinking. And I said, well, the base rate, that's fine, but the drinking, I'm going to have to think about that over the weekend. So,
I don't care about that. Well, let me get back to you.
Let me get back to you over the weekend.
And that's when you rang me.
Yeah, it was probably the same weekend.
Yeah. So my recruiting tactic of we're going to Bali on the footy trip, you're in.
So obviously I wasn't enjoying it that much over there.
Nah, couldn't
be. I could have stayed, I suppose, on different terms, but decided to come back, which was a good move in the end.
Oh, what a year, 92.
92, yeah.
God, what a year. And that would have been quite a proud moment for you because in 92, that season, you won the download medal for that particular footy trip to Bali. Oh, you were best on, and that would have been a proud moment.
And well, it was 12 months in the making, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So I had a long time to think about it. And
your pre-season was brilliant.
I only won it because I stayed up for 2 days at the start. There was no stupidity in it.
No.
It was just
longevity.
Yeah, you just stay up longer than anyone else and seem to get the votes.
Hey, now, Rowan, as I mentioned earlier, Timmy G's Tyre Power time machine has got a sponsor. And we've just got to do a little sponsor bit here. Now, I didn't know if you know this, Rowan, but if you need a little help from your friends, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, Tyre Power, is here to help you. Did you know that?
I did know that. I listen to their ads all the time. And they've got great deals, you know, 4 tyres for the price of 3 and stuff like that.
Well, so. I'll be. Most unexpected, Rowan. Beautifully done. And look, they're good friends. And they've also got a free 5-minute tyre safety check. And we should all do that, shouldn't we? Check the tyres, check the tread. Check the pressure. What do you reckon?
Oh, I do it all the time.
Yeah, good on you. And I'll just pop over there at Cheltenham. We got one locally. How's that?
A nice coffee shop across the road. You can pop over there and have a coffee while you wait.
Ah, thanks, Tyre Power. Beautiful. Now, that was almost Graeme Kennedy-like. That was beautiful. Oh, dear. Now, after 92, we've had a good time. Come into a really important time. Port Adelaide have to keep winning premierships to get into the AFL. 1994 as a year, we'd lost Greg Phillips, he'd retired.
Yeah.
We had quite a few young guys come into the lineup, still feel the older core from previous years there, but it was a bit of a mixed up year. But when we get to that final series, a couple of significant games in that series, one is the drawn, do you remember the drawn qualifying final against Central District?
Not really.
No, okay. That's what I love about you.
Scotty kick a goal?
Different game. But we were 7 points down with 57 seconds to go on the clock and we got back and drew and then win in extra time and go through the second semi where we get smashed. We go back into the preliminary and we get to grand final day. Now, this is a difficult question. Do you remember grand final day at all?
Yes.
Yes, you do. Good. So I can ask questions about 94?
Four finals that year.
We played four finals that year.
How many finals did you play, you reckon?
33.
Oh, you know that?
Yeah, I know that for a fact. Yeah. Do you want to go back and count them or not? Yeah.
So I'd be 30 then.
Oh, you'd be very close. Yeah, you'd probably be around 30.
I haven't really counted them, but yeah.
No. You're a very experienced player.
Yeah.
Yeah, 251 games. Not a bad effort at all. You're a good player. Don't worry about that.
But and how many reserves games have you played?
I played 45. Yeah, how many did you play?
Probably about the same.
So we played a lot of games. Mm. But in 94, when that day comes, how did you feel when we were 6 down?
In the drawn game?
No.
Grand final, yeah.
He's a pest.
Well, I had a pest on me that day.
You did, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, young Scotty Camperale.
Because you'd moved to the wing by this stage. You were a half-forward flanker for a lot of your career.
Yeah, probably about 92.
Bit on the ball. But you'd gone up onto the wing.
Yeah.
Was that a conscious move by Jack, or was that just something you asked to do? Or
did Hutz retire about then? Or?
No, Hutz was still playing 94. You were on the other wing.
I don't know why, but...
you didn't take a lot of interest, did you?
Pace, maybe.
Pace?
Was I quick?
I wouldn't have thought quick. No, not slow, but...
In between you and Trigger, maybe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Somewhere in between.
That's that's
the two ends. I don't know why. Maybe, I don't know, because of ball use, I'm not really sure. But
yeah,
I actually enjoyed it out on the wing anyway because you can roam up and down the ground compared to half forward. You're sort of a bit limited in what you can do there. So.
Well, you loved it. And I'm pretty sure that the forwards loved coming out on lead and getting hit up by your good self as well.
Yeah. But anyway, getting back to the six goals down.
Yeah.
I was probably thinking we're in a bit of strife at that stage. Mm. Would that have been halfway through the second? Or?
Well, 25-minute mark, first term, we're still six down.
Okay.
Yeah. So
it's bad quarter.
So it's worse than what you thought.
So when did you think it had turned?
Probably not till halfway through the third, I reckon. Yeah. Probably... We're getting a lot of the footy and probably weren't converting as we should have, but I think I missed a goal, a few others
That's unusual.
Missed. Yeah. But, I sort of thought halfway through that after your incident maybe that might have helped, but, I thought we were getting a bit of control back at halfway through the third.
Do you remember the last quarter when the momentum has clearly swung and you and I were trying to communicate around the middle of the ground and you said, I can't hear you.
That was loud.
I can't hear you. The noise was amazing, wasn't it?
That was probably the loudest that we ever played in front of, and I even heard rumours that the AFL chiefs were here that day getting wined and dined, and they even said that the noise that day was pretty amazing. So
it was incredible. That beginning of that last term where the ball comes out of the centre and it ends up in your hands. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but I had to shepherd for you. Did you know that or not?
Looking at the replay, I did.
Wayne Marty reckons he never got a shepherd off you. Not one. But I come through, there's no way, because I was obviously between you and Trigger as far as pace goes. So I wasn't going to obviously be able to receive the handball. Yeah. You've cut through, and from the centre wing, you've hit Scotty on the chest. And I reckon that moment
I actually watched that last quarter couple of weeks ago because I've been in
busy
quarantine.
Yeah, you were too. Yeah.
Quarantine because of the airport cluster, and got to watch a bit of footy and Netflix and all that. So I did watch that last quarter, and I reckon the message at three quarter time would have been get the ball and go long. Because every time I had about three or four kicks that quarter, and every one of them was straight down to the full forward. Yeah. So.
And worked it right.
Worked it right. He got on the end of a few of them, Scotty, so, yeah.
Banged a few through. And
yeah.
I thought, geez, how did you feel that moment? Like, all of our celebrations coming back here, you were one of the instigators. Paul Northeast would fire the crowd up. Do you remember we got on the bus and and we've had the premiership dinner and we can't wait to get back here. And Bobby Clayton.
Well, the first year, 88, we missed the bus coming back here.
That's right.
We're stuck over at Footy Park with the cup, with no way of getting back. I think supporters might have driven us back here.
True story.
So, 90.
But I remember Bob Clayton got on the bus and said, now, when we get back there.
Was he pointing at me and
pointing at you and Norm? No in sight in the crowd.
Oh, God.
You remember?
Why wouldn't you?
Oh, and you did. And you did inside. But it was just a great moment to come back here, wasn't it?
It was awesome. It was a great feeling. And so was, you know, everything about winning a premiership was, you know, for 2 weeks after and even months after, you walk into a pub or something and someone would still be buying you a drink, thanks for your year, you know. Yeah. Like, it just went on forever. And until you started pre-seasoning and then you sort of worried about the year after. But, they were great.
When you were a bit younger and a bit sillier, that first flag in 88, you would, you and Wayne Marnie made a bit of a pact to one another, didn't you, post that you were going to have a beer every day.
For how long?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. How long did it go for?
Well, it would have gone through the footy trips.
So correct, yeah.
I'd say it would have been a good month.
Good month.
28, 4 weeks probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Which wasn't that easy because they weren't just two drinks a day.
No. Once you got started.
Yeah. tough, but you did it. You woke up and...
Fought through it, went on again.
Yeah.
I love it. We did have fun, didn't we?
Yep.
And some part of that was that camaraderie that we were able to build through those events that we would have to raise money for our footy trips, yeah. Which we loved so dearly. But one of those were a ladies' night, and we loved having a ladies' night. And can you tell the story how me and you used to host those ladies' nights?
Done a couple, yeah.
Yeah, we'd get up there, talk to the crowd, get going, have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
And our warm-up would be at the Lighthouse Hotel, thanks care of Greg Phillips.
Yes.
And one night we walked in there and I saw Paul Marrott. Now, when I saw Paul Marrott, and bless the man's soul, played for Port Adelaide, champion, but geez, could he drink a pint.
Yeah.
And when I saw him, I thought, oh, dear. He came straight up to me. He said, right, Timmy, hurry up. Let's have a beer together. Now, what proceeded was I think I had around about 10 pints in an hour and a half.
Yeah. I think you might have gone to the toilet after your first or second.
Yeah, and I wasn't in real good condition by the time I got back here.
No. So we sort of got Paul to up the ante, if you'd like, but get in a race with him.
He tagged
you. He tagged you. And
see, unlike you, he did a good tagger job. But it backfired on you, didn't it?
Well, it did.
Well, because, I had to go home.
Yeah.
Because I was no good.
How long did you last? 10 minutes?
Oh, 10 minutes? The only.
Yeah. And then I had to do it with, I think, George for the rest of the night. So, yeah, no, it did backfire.
So huge. That'll teach you. Yeah, that'll teach you. The other thing we used to do was players' concert. Now, do you have a favourite memory of any of your player concerts that you're involved in?
Oh, Rotney.
You were a ventriloquist doll on Roger Delaney's lap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got it oh so wrong. But... we were pretty hammered by then, so it didn't matter so much. But, yeah, they were fantastic nights and we were in nearly every act.
Yeah. I used to say I was in 9 out of 10 acts and never won.
Yeah.
It was a tragedy.
They were awesome nights and had good fundraisers too for the main event.
Oh, yeah, true. Now, I don't know if you remember this. When you were at St Kilda, we used to talk regularly on the phone and I remember saying to you, how's Plugger going? Like Tony Lockett, like what's he like and is he a good bloke and all that? And you said, oh, Timmy, he's a terrific bloke. Like every night, because you know he likes the dogs. And I said, yeah, and he found out I like the dogs. And then Thursday night for training, he waits for me and then we go to the dogs together. We have a great night at the dogs. And then Saturday, he waits for me, we go to the trots and all that. And then we have a few beers. I said, wow. I said, really? And you said, nah, he wouldn't even know my name.
That's
exist.
True, yeah.
What? Yeah, so he was...
He was that big.
He was huge, wasn't he?
You just never seen him out, really. He went to a couple of player functions, but after the game, nothing. He just disappeared because he'd get into trouble if he stayed around. So I think they were happy for him to just go home and do his stuff. So, yeah. Great player, though. He was great to watch.
Oh, jeez, was he what? What about at Port Adelaide? Who do you think was, one, the best player you played with and perhaps the guy that had the biggest influence upon us winning?
Oh, the biggest influence would have been Scotty. Seen it so many times in finals and a match winner.
Yeah.
And I still remember the day he kicked 15 out here against West, I think. Mm. And he's snapping balls over his shoulder from 60.
Yeah.
Well, that's just unheard of. And I don't think there was a breeze that day. It was just
amazing.
A massive leg. So Scotty would be the most influential and best players. I don't really worry about that too much. There's just too many good players that you've played with. So I don't really want to single out anyone at this stage.
What about some characters you've met along the way?
There's been characters as well. You know, Rizza. I love Bomber when we first started. You know, he taught us a lot about mucking around and stuff. So Bomber was a great character. Rizza. But once again, everyone everyone's a character in their own right, but you just got to get to know, got to get to know them. And yeah, there's plenty of characters, but yeah, can't name them all, can you?
No, no, but I think you're one of them, Rowan Smith, and it's been a pleasure to have you in the Timmy G Tyre Power Time Machine this evening, and I thank you very much for your time, and I look forward to our next ladies' night.
Okay, thank you very much for having me. Enjoy.